What is strategy all about? How do great organizations develop and work with strategy? These are questions we'll be exploring now. Welcome to the Value Strategy Pod, where we decompose the strategy of some of the most interesting organizations in the Nordics. I'm Tala Scherfsvik, and I hope you will join me in the quest for knowledge about how to think and do strategy. I'm here with Hans Christian Holte, the head of the Norwegian Labour and Welfare Administration. And you've had a number of different leadership positions in the public sector in Norway. You've also been head of the tax authorities. You have a lot of experience from different organizations that, you know, develop and build our Norwegian welfare society. And I think it'd be really cool to hear more about your experiences and also to learn a little bit about how you think strategically. But first of all, Hans Christian, who are you actually?
Well, I'm a 59-year-old man, grew up just outside Oslo. I've been, as you've been touching upon, I've been working quite for quite a while in the public sector. I have some previous experiences from consultancy in the private sector as well. In addition to that, I'm a family man. I have three children who are kind of grown up at this point. But yeah, that's about that's the basics, I think.
Yes, could you just say one thing you kind of do that, you know, it's a little bit out of the ordinary or that you think is strange?
Well, I'm together with some other oldish men my age, I regularly take a trip which we call soup with a view. I think that's quite original. walk together not too difficult ascent up to a hilltop somewhere with a nice view. One of us has a soup on his thermos, or what it's called. I read a poem. That's my tradition. Somebody has something to drink, and we sit there for an hour or so, and we go back again. So that's, you know, a very low, intensive, not too difficult activity for oldish guys like us. And it's I recommend it, actually.
Seems very fun and kind of out of the ordinary. Thank you for sharing that. That was great. Can you tell us a little bit about Norwegian Labour and Welfare Administration? It's a huge organization. Your budget is like one third of the national budget in Norway. You have very many employees and you do so important tasks and assignments and things for the Norwegian society. I mean, we would love to learn a little bit more about that. And you're, in my mind, you're a very unusual organization in the public sector, like globally, because we have gathered together many social services and social obligations under one organization. So please tell us a little bit about that.
I think you're quite right in your introduction to NAV, actually. It's a very unique organization, both in Norway and probably also internationally. As you say, it's a huge organization with 22,000 people in Norway, at least. That's a quite substantial number. We comprise both the state sector and the municipalities, the local municipalities in Norway. So it's a quite unique, that's kind of the structure of it. It's quite unique because it both has the social services that's provided by the local municipalities, and it has all the state funds that comprise about one third of the national budget, as you say, in the same local office, which is kind of first line of service in NAV. And then you have a structure above that where you have different bodies, both in the regional level and also on the state level, which I lead. When we look at what NAV is providing to the Norwegian society, we provide firstly, economic and social security for the population. That's the third of the budget, as you talked about. But we also have a very important role in trying to achieve that a maximum of people are attending activities and work in Norway. So it's a lot of cooperation with other sectors and the different employers in Norway in that respect.
Yes, we're working a lot to get people into workplaces, actually, like following them up actively so that they can engage in work life, which of course is super important both for health and psychology and all these other things, right?
That's right. And if I could just say that in other countries in Europe, for example, you have typically you maybe have one body doing exactly that last part. They have kind of that specialized role. That was so in Norway previously as well. And then you have other bodies maybe doing the more social work and the different benefits from the state. But these three parts were kind of put together in 2006 in Norway.
Get into what we refer to as NAV for the rest of the episode, which is like the shortening of this Norwegian Labour and Welfare Administration that we usually, that's what we usually call it. You've been working on strategy, and strategy in the public sector is sometimes like something that people think is a little bit difficult to talk about because we're usually not profit maximizing organizations, right? But I would love to hear a little bit more about the work that you've done on strategy and the strategy and kind of how it came about, etc. That would be super nice to hear more about, you think.
Well, I think there's a lot of interesting strategy work going on among the public institutions in Norway. And I think it's interesting because we have an environment around us, which means that, you know, we're kind of, we're leaded by politicians. We have some we have kind of a framework to operate within, but still, my experience is that we have also a huge degree of freedom to really consider. Well, how can we deliver our best as an organization on the mission that we have in our organization? And I think that's a responsibility that I would like to take, and I also think many other public leaders take to really find that direction that you need for the development of an organization. So when I worked with strategy in the Norwegian tax authorities or in NAV, there that makes a lot of sense to me when I try to make a difference as the top leader of that organization to really make the most out of it, to put it simply.
So I think that the thing about being a mission-driven organization, I think that's so interesting that you kind of mentioned that is not something that's unique for private sector organizations. It might be just as important or maybe even more important for a public sector-driven organization, which I also think is something that maybe private sector organizations can learn a lot from. But I would really love to hear a little bit more about NAV's strategy and the strategy that you've been developing since you came in as a leader, but you know, have been developing and kind of working with since 2022 when it was launched. Can you tell us a little bit about that strategy?
Yes, it was clear coming out of the pandemic that from my perspective that we needed to have a more clear direction for our developments in general, and I would say there are at least two points to that. One is to kind of make the right priorities when it comes to resources, etc. Where should we put our capacity when it comes to developing something new to really have that picture more clearly than I thought we had at the moment? And secondly, I think it's a very strong driving force for the organization also to pull more together. And for NAV, that's also quite important because we are a quite complex organization comprised of very different types of tasks and also people with different backgrounds, etc. I think we needed that common direction also to pull more together. So we started out trying to figure out, looking towards 2030, which in my opinion was appropriate time frame to be able to do something with such a big organization, but not look too far ahead to be moving into more scenario thinking. We set the aim at 2030 and then said, well, what should be the difference in NAV 2030 compared to what we are today? In other words, where should we see the changes? And we developed four ambitions on that basis. Different ambitions related to the different responsibilities that we have. One related to how far we had come with digitizing our benefits that we give out to the Norwegian people. A lot to do there. We have a very good technology department, which are striving along with that, but still a lot to do. Secondly, there was one ambition related to how we help with getting more people into the Norwegian workforce, people with maybe some challenges related to their health or language skills or a basic education, etc. And thirdly, also one ambition, maybe looking a bit more inward, but also from the user perspective, saying, how should we be better at meeting people with complex needs that maybe needs to be solved over time? Being such a huge and complex organization, there's an acknowledgement that we are not good enough to meet people as one organization, but we tend to send them between different parts of our organization, for example. So that's some sketches of what the strategy is about.
I think the strategy is super interesting because I think it addresses like mobilizing work capacity in the population. It addresses how people get their money when they're supposed to simply and at the right time. And I think you also take up some of that, you know, that we find the solutions together, the user and NAV together, like you're finding solutions as a collaboration or a co-creation. And then there's the final part, which I thought was interesting, that we have this focus on like working together within NAV and then with the users in an ecosystem in some sense. So I thought it kind of addresses very interesting strategic perspectives for your organization. That's super interesting. Has the strategy for NAV developed, you know, a lot over time? Because I know you were very different organizations, like in the beginning of the 2000s. You had some challenges regarding your development of the IT area of the organization. I just must say that, you know, I've had a PhD. I was supervising a PhD student, and he was writing about some of the things that NAV is doing. And actually, Washington Post picked up on one of his first papers because they thought some of the things that he was doing related to the inclusion of users into NAV systems, because you're a highly digitalized welfare administration organization. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of that history that you've been through since the early 2000s, your digitalization processes, and kind of where you are today?
Yes, I think there's been a quite substantial shift, actually. And it was around 2015. There was a strategic change in how NAV tried to solve its needs when it comes to digital development. And the former way of solving this was quite traditional, I would say, where public entities tend to try to buy themselves out of their lack of skills in that area. So they tend to try to instead be good at public procurement and kind of make the right descriptions of what they need and follow up on that and be professional in that respect. NAV made a radical change where they insourced their IT functions, meaning that they NAV at this point have not that many consultants and still have some, of course, because there's a good mix between internal forces and also using some external competency. That's fine. But we have a much stronger internal technology department, which really moves things ahead with agile development, which is actually affecting the whole organization, would I say.
And that has also implications for how the users meet NAV. Like, it's a highly digital kind of user front you have, but you also have kind of offices where people can go and talk to NAV supervisors or people, right? So there's this mix of digital and physical kind of present. You wanna talk a little bit about that and how that kind of what does that look like in a municipality, for example, or city of in Norway?
Oh, I could talk a lot about that actually. There's firstly, I think it's important to realize that we will I think with the mission of NAV, what NAV should deliver, kind of the people coming to us, we will always need to balance simple digital solutions and services with also face-to-face meetings and helping people that are not digitally literate, for example. I think that would always be the case, that we have to take that into consideration. So we will have to have those two lines also in the future. When we look at the municipalities, we have the local NAV offices and where people can come in. Typically these days, that would be maybe an appointment that you made, that you don't come in to stand in the queue and be met, but you have a planned meeting. Looking digitally at the local municipalities, there's also a challenge because we have different, we have the municipality-owned digital systems and we have the state-owned systems, and there's a lot of regulation making it not too easy to combine that in a local office for NAV. So yeah, that's maybe not so relevant in this discussion about strategy, but it's an important barrier for us to try to meet.
I think it's relevant because it kind of shows some of that development that you've been through, like transitioning from being a highly physical organization to becoming a continuously more digital organization. One of, you know, globally, I think for the public sector, you know, you've done a lot of things that have not been done other places. So I think you're also pretty far ahead in that kind of sense. And I also think that might be possible for people to think about and learn from that. So I think as a strategy case, it might also be interesting. If you look in the Nordics and in Norway, you were touching upon it, but as a public, you know, a leader in public sector, do you think that people other places in the world in other types of sectors have things to learn about strategy from the public sector?
Well, that's that question kind of invites me to say yes, I think. yes, I actually do. I think there's something to learn, and I think there's also a lot for us to learn, of course. So, for example, looking back at my time as a tax commissioner in Norway, I was lucky to participate in the central OECD work on on the tax field, in the tax field, and that was showing me, for example, that we have a lot to learn from each other, which kind of, I think, mixes both, you say, values and attitude and work methods with more subject matter knowledge, like technology, how to use technology, etc. So I think it's kind of broadens our perspectives to meet internationally in these kind of issues. And I think there are some specific Nordic touch to several issues when it comes to how public institutions function that that might be interesting for others as well.
I just, you know, knowing a little bit about the tax tortoise, I just thought that, you know, like making it easy to do it right. You have kind of a slogan. Traditionally, you would maybe think about, you know, if you look at American movies, for example, there's like the IRS coming in, take you. It's like to take you. There's like this kind of different logic about enabling people to actually do the right thing. And I also sense from NAV, there's like this, it shouldn't be a lot. There shouldn't be a lot of burdens to, you know, being able to access different services from the public sector. So we are kind of there to help and serve you. So it's this kind of, I don't know, values or logic about it that I think might be a little bit different from other places. I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Well, I think there's definitely at least there has been a change in these matters in a country like Norway. If you go many years back, you would see maybe an attitude that still prevails some other parts of the world. So I think you're right. I think there's the way we look at it in Norway and, for example, other Nordic countries today is that it's both efficient and it's you could say, value-wise, it's also a good thing to really, as a start, trust people to be good and well-meaning people. And to me, it's not a contradiction between saying that and also saying that, okay, you need to have some sort of control mechanisms related to the welfare system, a generous welfare system as we have in Norway. Of course, you need to have that. But that is not precluding the possibilities to really, you know, think good of people in the first place. And as you say, with a slogan from tax, really letting people who want to do the right thing, make that be an easy thing to do. So I think that's efficient, and it's also building the social fabric between our public institutions and the public in general. So I think that's kind of a general ambition to be careful to take care of maintaining that in Norway, because it's a value that we have.
I think just like kind of finishing off on the touch of the trust-based society of Norway, I think that's super interesting. And I think it's also important for digitalization and how we deal with digital solutions that we have that trust already established. Do you have a one-liner of final thoughts if people were to listen to this episode? What would they, you know, what would be the last point that they should think about when they leave us?
Oh, it's a classic. I think it's been said before, but can't be said too often. I think don't put the strategy in the shelf. I mean, use it. Go out and spend time on implementing strategy. I think that's a common mistake, is to put it in a drawer or something like that and not really. Really chasing the effects that you originally tried to get out of that strategy.
And I know that you're really interested also in what you do early on in the process of working with strategy, that you actually think about implementation happening already as you start out. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think there are two good reasons for really investing both time and consideration in the early phases of developing a strategy, and especially in inviting the relevant groups, but both within your organization and outside for that sake, users, cooperating partners, etc., to invite those groups into the early stages of strategy building, because you get a strategy that's more enlightened by people who have the shoes on and really knows what's going on in the organization. And secondly, that ownership that you build is so important when you're going to implement later on.
I think that was a really good final point to end. I would really like to thank you for coming, Hans Christian. And I think that's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice being here.